open? Proverbs chapter 5. Talking about wisdom, talking about paying attention. The first thing he says is, "My son, attend unto my wisdom." When God tells you something, it is smart. It is wise. It is something you really ought to listen to. Now, as we read through chapter 5, the truth is, many are going to look and say, "Oh my goodness, I wish I would have listened." You're going to find that many didn't go this route. You'll see that God is still good. But he says, "Attend unto my wisdom." Now, of course, again, that means really listen. Pay close attention. Attend unto my wisdom. Pay close attention. When you're reading your Bible, if you can, get to a place where you don't have to be all alone. I know that sometimes I can't have, but where you can sit still and be quiet. So that when you're reading, you're actually hearing what you're reading. You can open it up at the stoplight, like I've seen some do. They're sitting at the stoplight, they'll open their Bible because they're on their way to work and they have to read in a hurry. Great. That's certainly, I guess, better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick. But the truth is, it really, when you read, you want to attend to my wisdom. He says, listen closely. Pay close attention to this. Really listen. Really take in what you're reading. He says, and bow your ear down, or bow thine ear, excuse me, to my understanding. Listen to this. Give it your all. That you may regard discretion, and that your lips may keep knowledge. Remember, you want to be a discerning child of God. You want to know what God's Word says. You want to be able to remember what God's Word says. You want to be able to open your Bible and even find what God's Word says. And you can say to someone, "You know, I was just reading this morning. Let me show you what it says." You want to be able to handle God's Word that way. And that's what he's saying in these first two verses. Now, he says, the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Some people, if you read through commentaries about chapter 5 here, call this God's sex education chapter. You know, there's sex education being taught in the schools. Taught completely wrong. Out of the will and out of the Word of outside of the Word of God. But here, God's going to give you and I a little bit of a simple sex education course right here in chapter 5. You're going to find that a lot of problems today in marriage relationships, a lot of them, although most people don't realize, a lot of problems in today's marriage relationships didn't begin in these marriage relationships. They began way back in the premarital sex life of the individuals that are involved. Interesting thought. And people are trying to overcome these problems today and going to counseling and fighting through it and this and that. And it started way back a long time ago by not listening to what God said, by not obeying what God has to say about these relationships. Now, of course, Numbers chapter 32. I've quoted this to you before. We'll see it a lot through the book of Proverbs. Numbers 32:23. If you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. It's called God's sex education chapter. What you're going to find is none of us, not any of us, not you, not me, not anyone, is getting away with anything. In our society, and the way it looks at morals, and the way it looks at sexual relationships, it is so bizarre and so messed up compared to what God says. And God simply says, don't forget, your sin will find you out. Now, Christians, I don't know, I get the impression that Christians feel like, well, that doesn't mean me, I'm saved. Well, yes, it means me too. Saved or not saved. Understand that your sins are forgiven, Christian. If you're, wait a minute, truly born again. You must be born again. You've got to make your own calling and election sure. I must be born again. And once I am, my sins are forgiven. But I have learned throughout life that there are ramifications. There are things that we call, well, let's just use the word that we're used to, consequences. You're dealing, a lot of you, a lot of us, are dealing with consequences. We don't like them, but there they are. You know, I played a lot of sports in school and through the Navy and on the side streets growing up and around my house and never gave a thought to my knees. You know, and played football and you take a lot of hits in the knees. I thought I broke the knees a couple of times, but I laid there on the field for a while until I could feel my legs again and they'd get me up and walk me around and I was fine. Never did I know that I was going to live this long. And so now I can go down, but sometimes my knees don't want to go back up. And I think, my goodness, and I'm just a kid. Wait till I get old. And then had a doctor tell me a few weeks back, he says, you never, never do that to your knees. I said, I watch guys put weights on their shoulders and squat down straight to the floor. He says, you never do that to your knees, you'll destroy them. And I'm going, oh Lord, we're going to have this a great time, all of us, when we hit about 27, 28, start getting old. You know why? Because you're forgiven if it was, well, playing sports isn't a sin. Well, for some of you it might be, I don't know, but playing sports isn't, but you notice there are consequences, there are ramifications, things happen. And that's what he's going to be talking about here. So, don't think that I listened into your phone calls. Or that maybe your husband called me, or your wife, or people that you work with. No, nothing like that happened. But watch this. The lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. A strange woman would normally have represented a woman that was not an Israelite. A woman who was just from another country, who was loose, or even, if you want, a prostitute. And that's what she would have been called, a strange woman. But, you know, the Israelites found out, these women thought, well, we can make a little money too. And so, even though it was completely forbidden, they took to prostitution as well. And so, even though they were still Israelites, the term that they were given was strange women. In other words, they acted like the Gentiles, the heathen, so they would give them that name. It's a strange woman. Of course, many of them were put to death, stoned to death. They would usually stand them in a trough filled with manure and stone them until they fell dead into the manure. And that was their punishment for getting caught. Of course, you remember the woman taken in the very act of adultery. Do you remember that? In front of Jesus. Now, to be caught in the very act of adultery, I don't want to go into detail, but the truth is there should have been somebody else in the room. To be caught in the act of adultery, there needed to be two people. Well, they dragged this woman by herself, completely naked, out in front of Jesus and said, the law says she should be put to death. What should we do? And you remember how Jesus handled that. So even though the law said it, many of the ladies, and eventually even some of the men, took to prostitution. And so they were called strange women. Well, notice that their words are deceptive and very persuasive. The lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil. But the end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on Hades. Lest you should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, you that you cannot know them. All right, there's some advice here. You got some sex education classes. Here's some advice for a young individual. deceptive words. They're very persuasive. Maybe someone has been kind of persuasive to you. I just learned about a 13-year-old this week who last week listened to some persuasive words and got lured off away from her family and was raped. You see, the words are real persuasive. They're deceptive. The people start telling you how cute you really are, how good looking you are, how smart you are, how you're really, you know, mature for your age, young people. And there, the words, they fool you. You see, they drop as a honeycomb. That would be sweet. The mouth is smoother than oil. That's the smoothest thing that the Israelites would understand, the oil. But the end is bitter as wormwood. What seems to be attractive at first becomes super bitter. You can't even keep it in your mouth. It's like tasting the most bitter substance that you could think of. When we were down in Mexico, took a team down into Mexico from the Bible College, and there at that little orphanage for handicapped children, they had a few trees, olive trees. I don't remember what kind of olives they were, but when olives aren't ripe, have you ever tasted one? Well, the students didn't realize this, so they were going to have a competition. This was a joke that the people at the orphanage were playing on the students. They were going to have a little bit of competition. They pulled a bunch of olives off and said, we'll see who can eat the most, the quickest. So they got two guys, set them at the table, and put a few dozen olives in front of each that they pulled off the trees. And they said, go! And these guys started throwing them in their mouth and chewing. It was so bitter, so sour, that they were literally throwing it up. Because they put it in there so fast. It was so bitter they couldn't keep it in their mouths. That's the same thing that you're seeing here. You see, it sounds nice, but what's going to take place, what's going to happen, is going to be so bitter, you're not going to be able to deal with it. You're going to be spitting it out. It's like the most bitter taste. It's like a two-edged sword. Now, that double-edged sword cuts both ways. It is sharp. It is dangerous. Have you ever been cut by a knife accidentally? I mean, a real cut. At first, they don't bleed. The cut is so deep and so quick, and ooh, they're painful. I remember my sister. She was going to help my mom cook. She was going to cut the carrots. She took the knife and put the sharp end of the blade up, not noticing, and put her thumb against it and shoved down. You know how that must have felt? She said a few things that were interesting. And she was only 10. But I got the impression that that was painful and it happened so fast. You see, it's so bitter. I know many of you think that, oh yeah, he loves me, she loves me. Oh yeah, we'll try this premarital sex. Oh yeah, right. But it's going to be so sour, you can't even deal with it. It's going to be so sharp, it's going to be so quick, the pain. I mean, you can almost feel it now. Ow, my thumb. Ooh. And notice, everybody, where does it lead? Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on the grave. And this is pretty clear. And let me read this. Lest you should ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that you cannot know them. Interesting, we learn that it is bitter. Although it sounds nice at first, it sounds like the right thing to do. Well, we're in love. Or, you know, this is just a one-time thing. We're close. Well, wait. It's going to be bitter. The most bitter that you've ever tasted. It's going to be sharp. It's going to cut both ways. It's going to cut quickly and unexpectedly. And it's going to lead to your death. That's an interesting concept. That includes men and women. Famous gangster, I was reading about today, contracted syphilis. Now you've probably heard of that. That's kind of old-fashioned disease, I've heard. Because, see, we have all these modern drugs. And our morals can be whatever they want because we can take shots and take pills and all these things. It's something interesting that you might not know. In men, these venereal diseases show up a little more quickly. In women, they don't show up as quickly because they're built a whole different way. They don't show up as quickly. So a lot of times, women can go years and years and just think, well, I have some kind of infection or something. Kind of an interesting thought. A very famous gangster contracted syphilis, sexually transmitted disease. Never received treatment for it, although he knew something was wrong. Though he was the head of a large crime syndicate, it eventually went on to cause his mind to completely malfunction. He went completely insane. And then, of course, it killed him. And you're not shocked at that, and I know you're not, because I could tell you story after story after story. You've read them. You may have friends who lived them, of people that died of that dreaded disease called AIDS. Some of the stories they're horrible, horrible deaths. Horrible. The stories continue as the statistics show us, at an alarming rate. We may not know everything about what's happening with AIDS, but we can tell you some of the basic ways to avoid it. True? And people are not listening. What did God say? Well, the words are smooth. It sounds great. But you see, it turns out to be bitter. So bitter you can't deal with it. Amazing how these people are suffering and then begin to ask, why did God let this happen to me? If God is a God of love, how could he allow something like this in my life? Well, her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on the grave. Notice her sins destroy others as well as her own self. Interesting concept. That means those of you who want to practice sex, premarital sex, you will destroy yourself. But you'll destroy others in the process. Now, it's interesting how people don't believe that. And they say that, someone was talking about it on the internet the other day, and they said that is old-fashioned thinking. And I thought, well, now that's an interesting concept. Old-fashioned. To have morals has become politically incorrect. Isn't that interesting? That ought to show you. Remember the old preacher told me, when the world goes to the right, you go to the left. And I mean, you can't lose on that concept. But we still see people falling apart, people dying, people suffering. We see Christian marriages breaking up. Affairs all over the place are breaking up. Now remember, let me read it to you again, or just remind you what we heard earlier. A lot of the problems today in many Christian marriages, they didn't begin in those marriages. They began prior to those marriages in premarital sex, whether it was with the same person or others or etc. Do you understand that? So you can see now how we've all gotten so messed up. How? Well, what's the first verse say? My son, attend unto my wisdom, that your lips may keep knowledge. This is something God would want you and I to listen to closely. Closely. Attend to my wisdom. You know, although the words are deceptive and kind of smooth and you're kind of tricked into some things, James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 tells us, every man is tempted, that includes men and women, every person is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It's nobody's fault that I sin. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It is not your fault. You could try to trip me up all day. If I trip up, it's because of my own disobedience. Now, if you're trying to trip somebody up, Jesus says that these stumbling blocks, they have to happen. But woe to the people that put them there. You hear that? You don't want to be the one causing others to stumble. You don't want to be that one. We've got a lot to pray about and a lot to think about, a lot to listen to. So many people, young and old alike, are in such miserable shape today. You will talk to them. I just got an email from a friend who got herself in trouble. She's 49 years old. But somebody really talked a good talk. And they hadn't seen each other while they were just... It was pretty smooth. But you know, we're learning. You can try that. But the truth is, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You got a choice to make. Now you're going to have to do something. And he says, then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Hear me now, therefore, verse 7, O ye children, don't depart from the words of my mouth. The word children is plural. He's not only this is advice to his son, yes, but this is advice to all his children. Now, of course, God is speaking to every one of us as his children. When he says this, hear me, therefore, because of what you just read, because of the first six verses you just read, he says, listen attentively now to me, therefore, O ye children, don't depart from the words of my mouth. Now, do you think God wants you to follow him just so that you won't be happy? That seems to be the consensus of many. Though, you know, I've had people tell me in their teens, I want to live. I want to just have fun. I'll give my life to the Lord when I hit my later 20s. But I want to live. Do you? You really want to live? God says, you hearken unto my words and live. But you see, you got people out there. Their words are pretty smooth. Real smooth. And they're deceptive. They're telling you, it's not bad. Remember when you wanted to play tricks on your friends? You'd stay in the water even though you were freezing and could hardly move, and you'd tell them, no, jump in, it's not bad, because you want them to suffer too. People are giving people drugs. You know, it's kind of interesting. You hear about these date drugs. I know you've heard about them. And I think, why would you yourself, as a Christian, even be there in that place? You know, that's a hard one to answer, isn't it? It really is. If you've been paying attention to the first four chapters of the book of Proverbs, it'd really be a tough one to answer. Why would you, as a believer, be anywhere around those people except to be witnessing to them? Maybe sharing the Lord. Why else would you be there? These are some things that we need to think about. You say, well, I'm just there and I don't do this, not that. Of course not, I know. But remember everything that we've learned so far. One of the things that we learned is we need to pay attention to what's going on around us. We need to discern what's happening around us. We need to pay attention to what people are acting like, the things they're doing. We need to be watching. Remember that? Not judging. We also need to be guarding our what? our hearts. Remember, we guard our hearts, for out of the heart come the issues of life. He says, hear me now, therefore, O you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove your way from her. Don't come near the door of her house. The father here urges his children not to turn away from his teaching. I would urge you, just like God would urge me, all of us, never to turn away from the Word of God. Even when someone says, well, that's okay for you, but come on, it's just this. I mean, hey, wait a minute. Don't ever turn away from the Word of God. And that is, you got to admit, that's wisdom. Don't turn away and don't stray from God's Word. If you do, if I do, if we do, we will be sorry every single time. Now, if you want, later on, if you're young, talk to somebody that's older. Because every one of us that's older can go, amen to that. I mean, I did it the wrong way. And I'm telling you, every time I didn't do it according to the Word of God, I got burned. Every time. Without fail. And he says, hear me now, therefore, you children, depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove your way from her and don't come near the door of her house. Now, think about that. Don't stray from God's Word. Don't stray out of God's ways. And don't even go to where those people might be. Don't go to her house. Don't go to the places where the temptation is. I know that makes simple sense. But the truth is, you and I, when we work, when we go to school, when we're doing the things that we're doing, sometimes, if you're not careful, you get yourself in a situation because you weren't paying attention to where the group was going. Isn't that true? Or the whole group is there, soon you end up there too, and you're there at a place where you never quite planned to be for the evening. Has ever happened to you? Do this. Never happened to you? Yeah, it probably has. Your friends say, hey, let's go do this. Let's just kind of kick around. You go, all right. And so you hop in your friend's car and you're driving around. And soon you end up at somebody's house. You go, whose house is this? Oh, it's a good friend of mine. He said we could stop by and have some soda. His dad's works at the company and for Pepsi. And so we're going to have some soda. And you think, oh, okay. You go in. Maybe you ought to be thinking about, all right. Oh, who lives here? What's all going on? Maybe you ought to be giving it some thought. Because, you know, God's word is clear. Don't even go near the house. Don't even go where she might be. Don't go to places where the temptation is. It's not fair if someone has a problem with alcohol. It is not fair to tell them, come on, we're all going to head down to the bar and we're just going to hang out, but we know you got a problem, so you just drink water. Well, you know, if you really love that person, you'd say, you know, let's all just go down and get a burger instead and go do this. Or let's go down and feed the ducks. Or whatever is exciting to you. That may not be exciting. You know, watching ducks eat. I don't know. Some people like that. Seagulls like it. They watch the ducks eat all the time. You see, if you're there where the temptation is, then the danger, or there is real danger, in giving in to that temptation. You see, husbands and wives have difficulty. You know, husband goes to work, and everybody at work hates his wife. And the husband hangs around with him because he thinks, well, I work with him, you know, I got to be friendly to him, be tacky. And what do you think starts to happen? The attitude starts to develop, doesn't it? Wife, she gets together with her friends during the day if she doesn't work, and they start saying how dumb their husbands are. And pretty soon her husband's dumb too. How did he get that way? Didn't take long. Everybody else convinced her. You see, the words are smooth. And now you're stepping out. You're stepping out of God's way. You're stepping out of the way of His Word. You're going to a place where you shouldn't be. Now, your problem is, and you're wrong if you think you're always safe with Christians. Have you learned that one? Not always. You really still have to be discerning, don't you? You still have to be careful. I mean, we're people. We're all humans. We all have feet of clay. You have to be careful. Real danger in giving into the temptation. Don't go. Don't watch that. Don't hang around that. It's kind of simple, but at the same time, it seems to be hard for us because we're kind of built to where we want everybody to like us. We don't want anybody to know what we're really like, or they won't like us. And so we try to fit in. We try to, well, you know, that's just kind of how we're built. It's human nature. It's natural. So you're going to find that Jesus would tell you, you know, if any man will come after me, that means if any man chooses to follow me, walk after me, let him first. Now, isn't that the hardest thing to do? Come on. Deny himself. Is that so easy for you? The first thing I think when everybody's getting ice cream is, where's mine? What about me? It's my birthday too. I'm glad you don't think that way. I come into a room and I go, who, it's cold in here. Somebody fix somebody turn on the heat. Now, I didn't ask for an opinion. I just know self is cold. I know you guys don't do that, but I do. And so one of the difficult things in walking with the Lord that takes the power of the Holy Spirit is to deny yourself. Do we all do it well? I'm sure you do. Not me. Not too well. It's a real danger in giving in to the temptation, so you got to not go there. So sometimes you have to do things different than other people. Sometimes you have to not go to where you know the trouble is, even though maybe everybody wants to go. Sometimes even as a Christian, I find that I have to say, no, you guys go ahead. I'll do this. Because I'm not going to sit there and tell a group of you, oh, you're bad, you're lousy, you guys are headed for temptation, you're going to fall. No, I don't know what you're headed for, but I just know maybe I'm going to hang out back here. Go for it. You don't judge other people, but you begin to say, I need to be paying attention to my life, to my heart. If I really want to see a change in me by the power of God's Holy Spirit, I really need to listen to Him, not turn from His Word, not stray. He says, remove your way from her. Don't come near her house. Lest you give your honor unto others and your years to the cruel. What an interesting thing. Boy, does God know His stuff or what? He's very smart. Hear that? Lest you give your honor to others, you give your years to the cruel. Man. Lest strangers be filled with your wealth, and your labors be in the house of a stranger. And you mourn at the last when your flesh and your body are consumed. What a concept. You lose your strength. You lose your health. You lose your respect or the respect that others may have had for you. You lose a good reputation. And you even lose your life. Your flesh rots. You bring diseases into your own body. Did God know or what? Not only that, take a look. You lose money. I mean, I'll read it to you again. You think I'm making this up? I can see it in your eyes. Lest you give your honor to others, your years to the cruel, strangers be filled with your money, your wealth, and your labors be in the house of a stranger. You mourn finally at the last when your flesh and your body are consumed. I know that you think this premarital sex is really going to help you out. But my goodness, listen to the description. Listen to this education that we're getting from the Lord. You're going to lose your strength because of your physical health. You're going to destroy your body. You're going to lose respect of others. Oh, they might talk a big talk at first, but when it's all is said and done, they're going to go, look at him, what a loser. Look at her, what a dope. That's the way it works, you'll see. Your reputation goes in the trash. You may think it's low now, but it'll get a lot lower. You step out of the will of God, you step away from the Word of God, and you begin to go a direction, and your reputation is going to be down there pretty far, and your life will finally be consumed. But you lose finances. I got to thinking about that. I thought, how do you lose, if you get into illicit sexual relationships, or you have sexual and problems with them, how do you lose money? Well, I got to thinking, there are a couple ways to do that. Alimony. Ever heard of that one? I thought that was the thing of the past, but I'm starting to hear that a lot of people are paying out big money. They have an adulterous relationship. They have sex with someone else, and the wife does, or the husband does, and they go to court, and the courts are starting to do some bizarre things. Also, there's a thing called child support. Many of us have heard of it. You ever heard of it? I've talked to someone who is now over $50,000 in debt, and they're paying interest on interest on that, and there's no way out of that. No way. And when you're making $9 and $10 an hour, if you can make that much money nowadays, it'll take you the next 15 to 20 years to pay that off if the interest rate doesn't increase. You lose your wealth. I talked to someone who said that they are paying to their ex-spouse over $4,000 a month. All because there was a sex outside of the relationship. The thing crashed. Now, if you had to pay somebody $4,000 a month, how much would you have left over? You'd probably be in jail. So would I. Your money. It takes everything that you are and everything that you're about and destroys it. Now, we all wish we could go back and do it the right way. But there's some of you that haven't gone that far yet. You can do it the right way. Also, I have heard about extortion. People having sex with guys and girls that are under 18. That's against the law in some places. And so these young people start saying, okay, I won't talk for $500 a month. I'll keep my mouth shut so you won't go to jail. So some women are paying out money to keep themselves out of jail. Some men are paying out money. It's called extortion, bribery. Kind of an interesting concept. There are some people that are paying money to ex-husbands and ex-wives, so the wives and husbands don't come after them to kill them. That's always interesting. You see, you never think about what's going to take place, because as we learned at the beginning, the words are smooth. Everything's nice and deceptive, but instantly it turns bitter and it'll destroy you. It's what God says. And you'll mourn finally at the end, when your flesh and your body are consumed. And you'll say this in verse 12. How have I hated instruction, and my heart has despised reproof. And I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. Can you imagine being in such condition that you are so low, so far gone, just to stop and say, and all I really needed to do was listen to the Word of God. That's all I needed to do. Why didn't I listen? Oh, if you only knew how many people are kicking themselves today. They did a lot of things that they wish they had never done. Those things are done, and you can never take it back. You can never go over it and do it right. It can't be fixed. Wait, there's good news in all this. Salvation is by grace through faith. If you have sinned, and if I have sinned, if we have sinned, and we have, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and the sins are forgiven. Oh, the child support may go for 30 years. I mean, and the jail sentence that you got, or whatever happens, the illnesses in the bodies, the physical bodies that are literally now being destroyed. You're going to find 1 John talks about a sin unto death. And those things, there are consequences to our sin. I think that confuses Christians, because a Christian will say, well, wait a minute, I confessed my sin. How come this still plagues me? Because you and I have learned by reading through Scripture, we can choose to sin, but we never get to choose the consequences. So the smart thing to do is, by the strength of God, choose not to sin. That's the wise thing. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, stick with my wisdom. Don't stray from my word. You say, I already did. Yeah, but you don't have to from now on. There's always today. There's always right now. Here's something that you need to keep in mind. Let me read you these verses again quickly. You're going to say this. How, verse 12, how have I hated instruction? My heart despised reproof. And how, or I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Remember, as we read these verses, the idea here is God is not mocked. I don't just say I'm a Christian, I'm born again, and then walk off and live any old way I choose to live. Now, I'm forgiven, true, but there will still be consequences to the things I'm into, to the things I'm participating in. You too, you can be forgiven, completely saved and forgiven, but there are consequences to your life. And so God says, now, to this woman taken in the very act of adultery, where are those that condemn you? Where are your accusers? No one. What does Jesus say? She says, no man condemns me. What does he say? I don't condemn you either. Go and what? Sin no more. What was he telling her? Follow me. Walk with the Lord. But he has never yet said, all right, you go and be just right. You be perfect and do it on your own strength. And if you make it there, I'll pat you on the back. No, what did he say? I will not leave you comfortless. I'll ask the Father, he will send to you the Holy Spirit. There is power in the living God, and power in God, the Holy Spirit. And you, if you're born again, you have got God's Holy Spirit. You can be led by the Spirit of God. The strength is not in you and me. The strength is in the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. But it can be done through his Spirit. And that's what he's telling you. God is not mocked. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I know young Christian girls, I've talked with them, who say at 15 and 14, we have had sex already. Does God still love us? Serious question. The answer is yes, he does. He loves you. And if you've given your heart to him, you're forgiven. But I've got this simple little bit of advice for you. I wouldn't stray from his word anymore. I would just be saying, Lord, by your strength, allow me to stay close to you. Let me grow. Let me mature. Let me grow up. Because we're not doing these things in secret. I think you're going to notice that in a little bit too. See, God sees it all. He knows. We'll talk about that in a second. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Verse 15, he says, now I've told you in your sex education how not to do it, how not to work this out. Let me tell you the right way to handle it. He says, so God just doesn't say, don't. He says, here's the way it needs to be handled. He says, drink waters out of your own cisterns and running water out of your own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of water in the streets. Okay, this is, now, here's the correct way to do things. Here's how to do things God's way. You say, well, so far I haven't been doing things God's way. And God says, it's all right. Don't go this way any longer. Here's the correct way to do these things. Now, he mentioned cisterns, he mentioned wells, he mentioned springs, fountains. All of these are means of controlling water. Notice that? They're means of controlling water. So that the water isn't wasted. You get it in the well, you get it in the stream. There are ways to control water so that it's not wasted. That's his point. His point is, there are ways to do these things right. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. You've got to, he's going to tell you now that sex needs to be within the confines of marriage only. Only. Nowhere else, no other way. But within the confines of marriage, there's a way to control the water. There's a way that this has been set up to work. There's a way that is correct in the eyes of the Lord. And that's within the confines of marriage only. Now what happens is, even among Christians, they say, well, we don't like each other. That's a whole other Bible study. And remember, it is a fact that many of these difficulties didn't start between you two. They started a long time ago, maybe before you two even met. So you young people, you don't want difficulties in your marriage, start walking now in the ways of the Lord. Well, we read this. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. You see, God's plan is that sexual relationships should only happen in marriage. And of course, God's plan is one woman and one man. Now, has it been a little corrupted? Well, yes. But you notice how God says this is the way that he's got it, this is the way he sets it up, this is the way it is to work. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times and be thou ravished always with her love. Notice, this whole sexual relationship happens within marriage only. Premarital sex, no matter who it's with, no matter why you think you're doing it, is always wrong to include living together with that person because you really like them and they're very nice and you're just going to see if this is working out. It's going to come to no good. It's going to cause you troubles in the long run. So if you're living together, stop that. That's the Word of God. You say, why? Because the way God has it set up is a sexual relationship is within marriage only. And you'll find that also written throughout the New Testament as well. He says, for the ways of man... Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Verse 20, I don't want to skip verse 20, excuse me. Verse 20 says, for those of you that are looking for sex in all the wrong places. Why will you, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? He says, within marriage, the sexual relationship has been set up for your pleasure. Anything else is going to come to no good. It's going to come to no good. Now, you can take God's word for it, or you can continue on in the path that some of you are going and you can learn the hard way. You won't like it. It will be the hard way. And of course, you can go back and read all it's going to cost you, to include some of your very health, your very lives. Now, he says, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he, the Lord, ponders all his goings. It's kind of interesting. Many people, and this is going on right now, many people in our society, many disobey the word of God. As Christians, even, they disobey. They disobey this part of the word. And then they proceed to try and make it right. I know you've seen that many times. You'll see a young guy and a young girl, they'll have sex. Then that young girl gives them a call and says, all right, I'm going to have a baby, I'm pregnant. She's 14, he's 15 or 16. Then they proceed, because they've disobeyed God, they proceed to try and figure out a way to make this thing right. So they begin to discuss their, quote, options. What are our options? Your options were gone the moment that you sinned. But they start to say, well, we could have an abortion. We could put the baby up for adoption. We could get married. And you and I have seen the troubles, the heartache, the ugliness, and everything that goes along with that. People try to make the sin many times look legitimate. They try to hide it or make it look legitimate. You have to keep in mind, every one of you, all of us, in the Christian home, the Bible says the marriage relationship represents the relationship between Jesus Christ and His church. You can read through the book of Ephesians, you'll see that. Well, other places too. Read through 1 and 2 Peter. But Ephesians, you'll find it there, chapter 5. So, because Christian marriages are breaking up at such an alarming rate, that tells us something, I believe. Because the Christian marriages are breaking up at an alarming rate, it is an indication that the Word of God is not getting through to our hearts. That the Word of God itself is not being, as we were told in Proverbs, let this get into your heart. Remember, listen closely and let it get into your heart. It tells us that we're not letting the Word of God into our hearts. We're literally playing games with it. Husbands and wives sometimes. They won't come clean. They won't deal with things. They go on and on and on, and they pretend, but there's something wrong. And after 44 years, then the marriage breaks up, but it's been going on all along. Why? I think it's an indication that the Word of God is not getting through to people's hearts. God's Word is not influencing people's lives any longer. What's influencing lives instead is how they feel. I don't care anymore. I only want to be happy. It doesn't matter anymore. I just want to be free. And we're hearing more and more of that come out of true believers. And Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. We're missing it. We're losing it. We're in trouble. These words are for me and for you. These are for all of us. This chapter is for every one of us. None of us is too far gone that we can't stop right now and bow down before the Lord and say, I, by your strength, can walk with you now. And he says, the ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord. People are choosing to obey their own lusts. They're believing a lie that you've got a right to be happy, I think somebody wrote that somewhere in the Constitution, the pursuit of happiness. So you start watching the commercials and you're believing them. Everybody thinks in the commercials you have to weigh under 90 pounds. You know, in commercials. And I've just noticed lately a lot of commercials on weight loss stuff. Because every one of us that's 40 wants to look 19. Why? When we were 19, we wanted to look 40. We are a mess. We are a messy bunch of individuals. We need a Savior. We need Jesus Christ. Because our whole country is in a mess. And people are choosing to obey their own lusts, their own feelings, their own desires. They're just giving up and turning from the Word of God. Now, all of us are guilty of that, I'm sure, in areas if we just stop and think about our lives. But usually, what happens is we just think about others. Well, look at them. Wait a minute. Here's what the Bible says. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his goings. God sees it all. There is no place I can go where God doesn't see what I'm doing. If I go down to the deepest, darkest ocean floor, God is there. If I go to the highest, to the farthest planets we can get to, God is there. You can sneak into your room. You can drive your car out into the desert. Wherever you go, God is there. There is no place you can go where he cannot see what I am doing, what you are doing. And none of us, and I mean none of us, are getting away with anything. Even as Christians, we're not getting away with it. Christian, if you're sinning, you say I'm a Christian, but you're thinking about having an affair, or you're already having premarital sex and you think nobody knows, God is going to bring that out into the open. And when he does, he's going to take you to the woodshed. And if your parents never took you to the woodshed, you're going to be shocked. And stunned, because God disciplines the children that he loves. And we can't get away with it if we're truly Christians. God sees, and he ponders all his goings. I know that you think, sometimes you think you're getting away with it. I do sometimes, thinking, nobody knows what I'm thinking. Man, you ought to know that God heard it loud and clear. You are not getting away, none of us are. These sins have to be confessed. You know, he knows what you're thinking. You say, I don't really like my husband. My husband's this, that. You didn't have to say it out loud. He knows just what you thought. And he ponders your goings. He watches and thinks about the way you're headed and the way you're walking. It ought to become a little bit more important to us, I think. We ought to not be afraid. We ought to love God enough to say, hold it here. I need a change. I need a change of heart. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Change my life. One step at a time, Lord, draw me close to you and let me walk there. You know, others, they only see what you let them see. And there are times when they'll make a judgment call on you. They'll say, you got a problem with your attitude. You got a problem with your temper. You got a problem with lust. You got a problem. And some of them, will tell you, the Lord's showing me this about you. And they might be. Those gifts are available. But the truth is, the people see what you let them see. And so if you want them to think that you're nice, you're nice to them. You could be mean to the rest of the world, but as long as they see you nice, you're nice. So you can mistreat a lot of people and still have everybody think you're holy. But what God says to me, what he says to you is, I see it. I see that. And I ponder your goings. And so what he's telling me is, you're getting away with nothing. Now if you're a non-believer, that ought to frighten you right out of your socks. Because every sin will be brought out into the light. If we're believers, like some of us are claiming to be, we ought to be knowing God's not going to let his children keep acting like this. God will not let his children go on that way. He chastens. A father chastens the son that he loves. That's something another promise we've got from God. Bob, I'll make sure. No, you know, I'm going to have you stand in the corner if you keep that attitude. He works in his children. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. And he shall be held with the cords of his sins. You a Bible underliner or a circler? That's an interesting thought there. And God is telling us some powerful things in this short chapter. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. If we're going to live wickedly, or if you are part of the wicked and haven't ever accepted the Lord, your own sins will catch you. You're going to be caught in your own trap. You set a snare and you get caught in that trap yourself, he says. And he shall be held with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his foolishness or his folly, he shall go astray. Kind of interesting. You know, talking about God listening. Have you ever told anybody that you yourself were a Christian? Maybe where you work or where you go to school or something, I don't know, you're in a group talking. Has it come up somehow that you're a Christian? Has that ever happened to you? Or sometimes people will say, what do you do? And I'll say, I'm the pastor at North Country. Then at that point, once they know you're a Christian, has anybody ever ripped off a whole string of cuss words in front of you? And then they stop and they apologize. Oh, I'm sorry, you're a pastor. Anybody ever say that to you? Oh, excuse me, you're a Christian. I shouldn't have said that in front of you. You ever heard anybody say that? And you know what the answer to that is, don't you? Hey, God heard you, even if I wasn't here. God hears it all. It's God you're going to answer to, not to me as a Christian or a pastor. God's listening. God is listening all the time. God is everywhere. God knows everything. He knows your heart. He knows your every thought. There is no lying to him. Now, as a Christian, that kind of makes you feel better. You might as well quit trying to hide it and go ahead and confess it, is what he says. There's a day coming, verses 22 and 23, of reckoning. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself. He shall be held with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction in the greatness of his folly. He shall go astray. There's coming a day of reckoning, a day of retribution, payday. It's coming. People are going to be caught in their own sin. It's coming. It's something that you need to give some thought to. So do I. Have you ever given your heart to Jesus Christ? He suffered. God in human flesh suffered on the cross, was nailed to the cross, shed his blood, died for the sins of the world, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Ascended unto the Father, and he's coming again to judge the living and the dead. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. You have an opportunity to ask him into your heart. But there's coming a day of reckoning. And I know people think they're getting away with it. Christians and non-Christians alike. I know they think they're getting away with it. Now, I'm not getting away with the thing. We are not getting away with the thing. That's what Scripture teaches us. It says something interesting here that I really found interesting. He is held with the cords of his sin. Sin is like a rope. Pastor Chuck used to have a saying that he'd say to us young pastors when we're trying to learn and trying to grow. He'd say, if you give a young pastor enough rope, he'll either climb it or hang himself with it. And I found that to be so true. Sin is like a rope. It literally ties you up. Those of you living in sin, you can't move. You can't even function. You might still be in denial and say, I'm not going to confess it. I'm not going to repent. So-and-so deserves to be treated this way. So-and-so deserves what happens to him, blah, blah. But you know something? You are so tied that you can't function. And notice, being tied up is not being free. There is no freedom in sin. I think all of us that are over 15 years old, over 12 years old, could say amen to that. We've been in situations where we've been in sin and you're just in bondage. You are so tied up by that, you can't think, you can't function, and it's kind of sad to see. And so if you remember being in that frustrating spot, you want to take every opportunity to listen to God so you don't get back into it, because it is a terrible place to be. Sin holds you. You're held with the cords of sin like a rope. He shall die without instruction, and the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. I know, it's not very many verses, 23 of them, but you know something? Something to pray about. Don't take my word for it. I'm just a person like you. Read through that again. See if verse 5 says that. Read it. Read it and say, Lord, speak to my heart. Show me what your word has to say. Show me how to live. Show me what you've got to say specifically to my heart. Let my heart hear what your spirit says. Pray about these things. Let's bow our heads.